All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And as we stand to our feet, we'll begin reading there in about verse 14. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. We'll read down to verse 23, and we'll give to you what the Lord's given to us. Now tonight, I'll be back into Genesis chapter 40 and 41 concerning Joseph. I have really enjoyed Joseph. That has been a help to me in my just everyday walk and everyday life. And I want to encourage you tonight to come back and get back with us in the Word of God and allow God's Word to penetrate our hearts that we may be different and changed for the glory of God. Here in chapter 1 of Colossians in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Pretty clear. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which you was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for the reading of God's word. We thank you, Father, for the hearing of it. For the Bible teaches us, Lord, that we've already been blessed by just having that reading, dear God, come upon our ears. Father, may our hearts today be touched, and God, may our minds today, Father, be fixed and stayed upon Thee. God, I pray You'll lead and guide this service as we commend it into Thy hands. God, anoint me this morning. Fill me with Your Spirit. Guard my lips and my tongue. Oh, Father, may You be magnified in all that's said and done. And God, may You save the sinner, dear God, that's closer to hell. We pray for those today, dear God, that need help. We pray You'll help them. God, I pray You'll feed us with Your Word and fill us with Your Spirit. God, may we see You today. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Three things this morning that I believe each and all people are looking for in life. I mean, there is a lot of money spent, a lot of advertisement on being healthy. Being healthy. We find that everywhere you go, there's the calories are up on the boards now. The calories are on the back of the boxes and on the bottles. And you find grams, and you find sugars, and you find fibers, and you find proteins. And it's just a health craze, it seems. And foods today, even in menus you have for the unhealthy, but then you have a healthy, amen? And so we find that the world in mind and in thought and in truth is talking about everybody becoming healthy. And so today I want to talk about to be healthy. And what does that mean? And then second thing I notice the world is searching for and seeking for is to be happy. To be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. All I want to be is happy. If I can just be happy, I think I can just make it through. And happiness is our goal, and happiness is our theme, and happiness is our vision, and it's whatever it takes to be happy, amen? Eat, drink, and be happy. It seems to be the course of life. And so this morning I believe that what I'm about to tell you will bring healthy and will bring happy. But then to be holy, that's not too much being thought of or being minded in men's mind, in the minds of men today. But that is today to be holy. That is today something that you and I need to consider. And so these three things, to be healthy and happy and holy. Now, what does being happy mean? Well, it has something to do with your behavior. Being happy today, I mean, being healthy today has something to do with your behavior. Being healthy is behavior. You are healthy because of the change of behavior. You're healthy because of the things that you do different now. The things that you put yourself involved in. And so behavior has everything to do with healthy. But then to be happy has something to do with attitude. See, with the attitude today, you can be happy. See, the fact of the matter is many people find themselves in circumstances, and once they get their mind right and once they get their heart right, they're in the same circumstance, but they're happy in it. What made the difference? A different attitude. And so we find that can be straightened out and helped this morning. And then holy, it has something to do with your desire. See, when your desire is different, when your desire has been changed or has your desire has been rechanneled, you can be holy. In fact, the fact of the matter is all of us have desires, but when we can get our desires in order and get our desires right, we find holiness there. And so attitude, behavior, and we find desire is seen right here in Colossians chapter 1 in verses 4 through 13. Let's read it. And all that is there. We're not going to preach on it, but I just want you to see it. It says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. See, that's desire, that's attitude, and that's behavior. It says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, which is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit, behavior, attitude, desire. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So we find within verses 4 through 13, we find healthy, happy, and holy. Has everything to do with your attitude and behavior and your desire. Now, all of this that brings happiness and healthy and brings holy is all wrapped up into one word, salvation. Salvation. And I know what many are thinking. They say, well, I'm saved and I'm not healthy, nor am I happy, nor am I holy. Well, then I'm not talking to you because you haven't experienced the salvation that I'm speaking of. You might have prayed a prayer. You might have been dunked in the baptistry. You might have joined this church. You might have said something to the nature of I'm saved or I want to be saved or these are that and other. But friend, I'm telling you the truth is that when you get saved, when you have salvation in your life, you do get healthy and that controls your behavior. You do get happy. That controls your attitude. But you do get holy because that controls your desire. I've experienced it 27 years ago, and others who have experienced salvation find that that's true. Amen? And so we see in the Scripture one word that describes how we're going to get to be healthy and happy and holy. It's called salvation. In salvation, though, I want to know, and I'm going to preach on five things this morning, is who makes this happen? Who makes us get happy? Who makes us get healthy? And who makes us get holy? Who is it? Somebody has to give it. Somebody must be the reason for it. Somebody must be the blame. Somebody we must point our fingers to. And can I say, it is Jesus. Amen. Now we know it's Jesus because there in verse 14, it says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So the dear Son is whom we're about to discuss, who will bring unto you being healthy. That is, that your behavior will change. Your behavior will be different than before you got saved. And so your behavior will be different, but your attitude will change. Your attitude that was before salvation and the attitude after salvation is now different because of Jesus. Your behaviors are different because of Jesus. Hey, friend, your desires are different because of Jesus. The only thing in you and our life today that can make a great change of life is Jesus, God's dear Son. There's three things I want to tell you about Jesus and why he has the ability and he has the reason and he also has the power this morning to take a sinner like you and I, and he can make us healthy and happy and holy. He can change our behavior and our attitude and our desire. It's because, number one, he is the Redeemer. He's the Redeemer. There's no other Redeemer in all the world, ever has been, never will be. That's why Jesus this morning is above and beyond all others this morning who call themselves Saviors, or call themselves Redeemers, or call themselves Lords, or call themselves Gods, or call themselves maybe something of another word or another nature that would bring, that can change your life. There's no other person in all of this world from the day of the beginning until the end that can change your life like Jesus can. And the reason why is because he is the Redeemer. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, and whom? Dear Son, the last two words of verse 13, in whom, talking about Jesus there, we have redemption. We have redemption. And so who do we have redemption in? We have it in Jesus this morning. We don't have redemption in any others. We have no redemption in each other. We have no redemption in anything. We have redemption in God's dear Son. In God's dear Son alone. You say, Brother Larry, this is so elementary. This is so ABC. I can't believe we're even listening to it. But you don't understand. I heard this week that there's a big change in all the world's religions. They're coming together and they're thinking this thing through now. You see, they were years ago, they were on the process that there was a mindset of there was God created male and God created female. That was the very thought years ago. But somehow, some way, these world religions have decided that there's possibly now there could be same-sex marriage, and it's okay. Years and years and years ago, the church said that abortion is sin. And then somehow the church's direction moved up and said, well, okay, you know, it could be we can have abortion in case the woman gets raped or the woman's going to die. Or something else is going to happen, and this and that. We can abort if we're up to a certain trial level. And all this stuff was presented to the church. And so we found the church in moving in a direction of a left direction. Then all of a sudden, 2016, these churches are coming about and saying, whoa, let's put a stop on all this. Let's get back. Let's go. We see what the world is today. We see what's going on today. We see that, man, things are not what they are to be. It's worse than it's ever been in our lifetime. And so the church is now deciding to go back in a different direction from where they come back. I thank God that we don't have to go back anywhere in this church, amen? And we can just keep on going forward. But the world religions are coming back. And so what I'm preaching this morning, for me to say that Jesus is the Redeemer, friend, is, I know, old news, but it's no news to the world we have today. They don't know that any longer. They think you can get saved by being good. They think they can be saved by joining a religion. They think they can be saved by baptism. They think they'd be saved because they're good to their neighbor. They think the gospel this morning is how you live. But the gospel's not how you live. The gospel's that Jesus died for you. So we find a world today that is ignorant that Jesus is the Redeemer. We've got millions of Muslims who are looking to a man they call Muhammad, and they're looking to him and a God called Allah, and a Quran which they have is a corrupt Quran, a corrupt book written by man that has God nowhere on it, and Muhammad is dead and still in the grave, and Allah was a moon god. But millions and millions of men and women and boys and girls have committed and thrown their lives upon this religion and put themselves in jeopardy today, not knowing that it was Jesus that's the Redeemer. Millions of Hindus, millions of Buddhists, millions of people of a Jehovah's Witness and of a Mormon's group, many of the Methodists and many of the Church in Christ and many of the Pentecostals who, when you talk to them about salvation, they'll talk about Jesus, but they'll add to Jesus. They'll have Jesus plus and Jesus and. But this morning, can I just let you know that the Word of God teaches if we're ever going to be happy and healthy and holy, we're going to find that it was Jesus that caused that, and because He's the only Redeemer. And there's nothing else that can add to your salvation that will bring you to the place of being happy and holy and healthy. It's amazing to me. We got churches on every corner. We've got an internet full of Bibles and full of preaching and full of theologians. We've got more books than ever inside the libraries. We've got such media and social media. We can go all over the world today to find whatever we want to find. And yet, the world is sinking down in sin today. Why? Because they're missing the Redeemer. That's why. One little old verse, in whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption. Jesus, God's Son, He's the Redeemer. He's the only sacrifice for sin. That's what redeem means. He's the only payment for sin. That's what redeem means. He's the only price for sin. You see, even if man wanted to offer a goat, God wouldn't accept it. Hey, if man wanted to offer another man for sacrifice for your sin, God would not accept it. You see, man wanted to offer some fruits and vegetables like Cain did, he still would have rejected it. You see, the only price for sin is the redemption of Jesus Christ. The only payment that sin can be made for you and our sin is the payment of the redemption of Christ. Oh, listen, the only friend sacrifice that's ever been sacrificed upon the cross of Calvary of any place of all time was the very death and sacrifice of Jesus, God's Son. He's the Redeemer. Don't be confused and don't be deceived this morning. There's no other Redeemer but Jesus. Oh, He's the one who forgives our sins. Right there in verse 14, even the forgiveness of sins. Your problem is sin. Bible says that our sin has separated us from God. Hey, what reason why our prayers are not heard today is because of sin this morning. You know why today that we have no fellowship with God? Because of sin today. You know why the Bible says that this world is filled and is full of wickedness and lieth in wickedness? It's because of sin today. Hey, sin has destroyed us, and sin is going to doom us, and sin is going to damn us. And I say to you, friend, that the only place that you and I can run to, the only place you and I can settle on, the only place that you and I can go to is a person, God's dear, darling Son. He is the Redeemer because He's the one that can forgive us sins today. He's the one that can deliver you from sin today. He's the one that can cancel the debt of sin today. Jesus, you say, do you believe that? You better know I believe it. My question is, do you believe it? Oh, the Redeemer. Sin's demand, The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You know what sin demands today? It demands death. It demands judgment. And it demands hell. That's what sin demands. So when you get out there and tell a little white lie, when you get out there and have a little dirty thought, when you get out there and have a little wicked imagination, you go out there and have a little cigarette and a little drink and a little porno, and you got a little bit of adultery and a little bit of lust, and you got a little bit of jealousy and a little bit of bitterness. And friend, on and on we shall go this morning. Friend, you could just remind yourself that it was Jesus, God's Son, that delivered you from that sin. Oh, that sin will bring death upon you. It will bring judgment to you. Hell, friend, is the destiny of sin. I tell you, secondly, this morning, is he the Redeemer? He's the Creator. God's Son, we're still talking about Him in verse 13. It says, dear Son. It says, in whom, that means that He is the redemption. But in verse 15, it says, who? Who is still talking about God's Son, God's dear Son? So not only is He the Redeemer this morning, but He is the Creator. Brother Raymond mentioned this morning and very well said. But I'll make a few more comments about it here. That Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is God before creation. In verse 15 it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That word firstborn means prior to all creation. Before the creation was ever made, before Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, Jesus was. Jesus is God this morning, and Jesus is God in that He's the Creator, but He was before the creation. He was way before the creation. Without creation not even being in the mind of His, He was there. He's always been. He's eternal, amen? He's always will be. There's never a time when Jesus never existed. Never a time when Jesus was, and never a time that you'll ever be where Jesus won't be, amen? He is before creation. Oh, the only one that can be creator is the one who's before creation. Isn't that true? I mean, listen, there'll be no creation without a creator. And Jesus, according to the Scripture now, and why He can bring you to healthy, and why He can bring you to happy, and why He can bring you to holy, He's creator. I guarantee you He can. And those who say they're saved, and those who say they love Jesus, and those who say that they walk with God, and they're unhealthy, and they're unhappy, and they're unholy, you just haven't met the Redeemer and the Creator. That's your problem. The image is Jesus is God. Verse 15. I'm going to move on. Verse 16. Not is He Jesus before creation, but Jesus is God of creation. The Bible says in verse 16, very clear, very plain, by Him. You see, dear Son is represented in whom? It's represented in who? It's represented in whom? It's represented in Him. For by Him were all things created. By who? By Jesus. Who's Jesus? The dear Son. By Him. That's who created the world. That's who created all things. According to the Scripture, now you might mark this down. If you might be one who believes in the theory of evolution, this is going to blow your bubble. If you think that you've been popped out of some planet out there, or if you have evolved from some monkey, friend, you find yourselves in real problems right now. The Bible says, for by Him were all things created. I studied that word all for many years, and I've come to the conclusion it means all. All things. Well, how about things in heaven? Oh, it mentions that. It says that are in heaven. Yeah, everything in heaven is created by Jesus. All things in heaven. Everything there is created in heaven by Jesus. Oh, how about earth? Well, He said mention that too. He says, and that are in earth. That's all created by Jesus. How about the things I can't see? Oh, that's created by Jesus. And all the things I can see? Yep, that's created by Jesus. How about our governments? How about our thrones? How about our rulers?
How about those who are in charge? How about those, friend, that are above and beyond and the authorities of all things? That Jesus created those two. I like this verse. They be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. In other words, Jesus created governments. Jesus created Satan. And Jesus created mankind. Everyone. You say, well, our country is in an election year. And it looks like we're going to have a vote of either voting for Hillary Clinton or the Donald Trump. You got to make choice. A no vote is not the right vote. So if you're going to cut out like a weakling and not vote at all, how pathetic that is. You say, well, listen, who do I vote on? Won't you vote Jesus? Jesus is in neither one of them. I know it. I know he's not. But you got to remember here, God has created the authorities. Won't you bow your head? Might be another good reason to come at 4:30 on Sunday and ask God who to vote for. You say, well, this is just not that important. Well, the last 8 years sure have been disasters. Don't tell me this morning. You say, I don't like you talking about politics from the pulpit. Well, let me tell you something. Go tell Daniel about that. Go tell Joseph about that. Go tell those men that you can't talk about government. You can't get involved in government. Friend, listen, friend, that's all they were involved in. And I can go on and on about that. Facts of the matter is, this morning, God created the government, Satan, and mankind. He created all things. The Bible says in verse 16, all things were created by Him. I hope there's no question this morning who can make you happy, who can make you holy, and who can make you healthy. It's the dear Son of God, because He's Redeemer, but because He's Creator. If you're going to go somewhere else trying to get happiness and holiness and being healthy, you're going to find yourself dissatisfied. You're going to think you've got something when you don't. Jesus is the Redeemer. He's the Savior, thirdly, because as Him being Savior of the world meant that He is also Jesus after creation. Jesus is God after creation. Look there in verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. In other words, after creation has been created, it is Jesus that's holding it together. Did you know that? That it's Jesus that brings the consistency of it. He's the sustainer of it. He's the keeper of it. You know, this morning, kind of odd, but inside of you are 23 chromosomes. Did you know that? Do you know? I don't know why my throat's getting hoarse. I did this once before. But do you know this morning that the earth is on a 23 degrees axis? Did you know that? That if it would go either way, it'd get too hot or too cold. You know who's holding the stars and the moon and the sun and the earth and Jupiter and all Venus and all the other Saturn and all the other planets out there and galaxies that we don't even know about? Jesus. Jesus is keeping things rolling and going. He moves around. He makes it go around. He keeps it where it's at today. With Jesus being withdrawn, all things would collapse. He is God after creation. By being God, He came as a Savior. The Savior of the world. I want you to look here in the Scripture now, in verse 18. It says, and He is the head of the body, the church. Now, if Jesus is the Redeemer, and Jesus is the Creator, and Jesus is the Savior, being the head of the church, He is not head of anything else but the church. If you're not part of the church, then you don't have a head. Jesus is not it. You want to destroy the church? You want to get rid of the church? You want to persecute the church? You want to talk about the church? You want to come against the church? You're coming against the body of Christ. You're coming up against the Redeemer. You're coming up against the Creator. You're coming up against the Savior. Man, you ought to be shaking in your boots. All of hell shall not come up against. The gates of hell should not come up against the church. All us that are part of the church ought to bow down to our head, ought to worship Jesus this morning, ought to throw our hearts down in His hand, ought to give up our lives and throw upon Him. For that's where happiness and healthiness, and that's where the Bible comes, talks about being holy. Jesus. So the fact of the matter is, I believe, according to Scripture, that nobody in this world will ever be happy unless they're in church. Nobody in the world will ever be happy, be healthy, unless they're in church. And nobody in all the world will ever be holy except those of the church. Why? Because He's the Savior. He's the Savior. He's the head. Oh, is He the head? Oh, He's the source of the church. Do you know this morning we have no church without Jesus? Listen, we have nothing to talk about without Jesus. There's nothing of Sunday school that would interest me if Jesus wasn't part of that. There's not a song we could sing in all these 100 songs out of this songbook right here if Jesus wasn't in them. There's not a testimony worth hearing if Jesus is not there. There's not a worth life. There's not a life worth living unless Jesus is there. Oh, can I say to you very clearly that He's the source of the church. He is the leader of the church. He is the originator of the church. He's to be worshipped. He's to be praised. And thirdly, He's to be preeminent. The Bible says in verse 18, He might have the preeminence. Verse 8, you know what preeminence means this morning? It don't mean first. It don't mean that. It means chief. It means above first. You see, if Jesus is in a line, well, let me just put it like this, because I think the majority of people think this way. God first, family second, church third, friends fourth. Now, that might not be your order, but that's a lot of the orders. God first, family second, church third, other friends and things are next. Really? You're putting God in a category with your family, with your friends, with your church? This mess. You know, many people say, well, you know, we have either Jesus or we have Satan. Do you know how contrary that is? Jesus is God. And do you think God has a problem with Satan He already created? You see the difference? Now, if you'd say there's a Michael and Satan, well, both of those are created beings. Both of those have the similarities. But man, when you put Jesus in the same category with Satan and say there's going to be a great battle, you're mistaken. Jesus is the creator of Satan. Well, can I say this in the way of preeminence? In your life, if God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is just in the lineup with the rest of your groupies and your peeps, you're mistaken this morning. He's above and beyond all that. He's God. He's Christ. He's the Redeemer. He's the Creator. He's the Savior. He is ultimately preeminent in all of my life. Nobody even comes close to where He's at. And then He gives me a priority. Then I think about my family. But He, my family's not above Him. My wife, my husband, and my children don't come close to Him. It's amazing to me. And I'm going to say this because I just want to say it, and I think it needs to be said. Through all 20 years of pastoring a church, and you find people out there and their lives are just horrible. I mean, they don't know where to go, what to do. They don't know anything. They're so deceived. They're so mixed up, theology. And you get to know them, and you get to preach to them, and you get to have fellowship with them, and you get to see them get saved, and you get to see them get changed, and you get finally get their theology straightened out, and you get things working in order. You get things rolling and going, and all of a sudden, the husband and the wife have some sort of fit or some sort of madness or some sort of argument or some sort of situation that goes on, and one of the spouses has always said, well, let's just leave the church and go to another one. Most time the other spouse just bows down. Sure. Where's God? You need to obey God rather than that spouse. Now there are some men who made decisions, and there are some women who made decisions and said, no, I obey God rather than I obey man. Praise God for you. That's when God's preeminent. I didn't say there's never a time to leave this church. There may be a time to leave this church, but it won't because of some kind of decision between the husband and wife that are opposite of each other. That's not how God works. I'm going to get off of that because I just don't have much time. Jesus is redeemer to the sinner. Jesus is creator to the world. And Jesus is Savior to the church. That's why He can make you happy, make you healthy, make you holy. That's who. Who makes that happen? Jesus. Good time. Second question would be, okay, Brother Larry, I understand who. Jesus. How? How does that happen? Well, He tells us that there in verse 14. He says, how did this happen? He says, through His blood. That's how it happened. It also says there in verse 20, it says, through the blood. And so we find the answer is the blood. Of all things of Jesus, of all things of the world, the only way that you can be happy and healthy and holy, and how that happens is you've got to go through His blood. His blood. That's the only agent, the only power, the only authority, the only one that has been mentioned in the Scripture, that if you and I are going to find this happiness and holiness and healthiness, we're going to have to go through the blood. Peter gives us an excellent illustration. And turn there, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 19. One of my favorite passages here concerning the blood. The blood. Not a blood of goat, not a blood of bulls, not a blood of man, but the blood of God. The blood of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. It says, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot, the first thing I notice about this blood is precious. You know why this blood is separated from any other blood? You know why this blood is what's required and what's demanded because of any others? Because, number one, it's Jesus' blood. That's what makes a whole difference. It's not Muhammad's blood. It's not Buddha's blood. It's not Confucius' blood. It's not any other blood. It's Jesus' blood. That's why this morning that you and I can look in any other blood. We all have blood. If you don't have blood, you're dead. Because the life is in the blood. It's not just any blood that God requires. It's Jesus' blood. That's why it's precious. There's just nothing out there except that one. That makes it precious. You can't find His blood anywhere but Jesus. It's precious. How things become valuable, how things become precious, how things become really, really costly, all because there's just not much of it. And the reason why this is precious blood is because it's Jesus' blood, and you're only going to find it with Jesus. Amen? I tell you another reason why it's precious, because it's not Jesus' blood, but it's God's blood. God's blood. Ain't that something to that? To thank God who is invisible and God who is a spirit would come and clothe himself in mortal flesh and become to a place where you and I can see the blood of God flow, conceived of the Holy Spirit. Father of Jesus is the Spirit of God. Wow. We all know the blood type comes from the male. It's a pure blood. Verse 19 tells us it's without blemish. Because it's God's blood and Jesus' blood, there's no contamination at all in this blood. It's a without spot this morning. There's no sinfulness, or there's no any type of evil in the blood. Hey, friend, it is a pure blood, and that's the blood that you must go through. It's a powerful blood. We find in verse 20, the Bible says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last days, time for you." The reason why it's a powerful blood, or it's a predetermined blood, I'm sorry, because it has been foreordained. It's a predetermined blood. In other words, God, from the days of the days of the days, has preordained and preplanned and to come to the place to foreknow that, listen, a man's going to fall in sin, and I'm going to choose my blood in the name of Jesus to go redeem those sinners so they could come back to me, and what they lost in the garden, they're gained back through the second Adam, Jesus Christ, this morning. It's a preordained, predetermined planned, amen. And so this blood of Jesus was not just something God had shot off the mouth with a cough. He just didn't say, "Oh, let me say, Jesus' blood." No. It's been like that from the foundation of the world. It's a powerful blood because in verse 18, the Bible says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." The reason why it's powerful, because it redeems, it delivers, and it rescues. That's what it does. It's a plentiful blood. Verse 18, and the reason why is because it's not like silver. Silver don't last. It's like not like gold. It's not like traditions. This blood never runs out. This blood never runs dry. It will redeem one. It will redeem million. It will redeem trillion. It will redeem gazillion. It will redeem everlasting soul that will come unto God. It will redeem. Okay, brother, I got you. I know who it is. I know how it is. But where? Where do you get this happiness? And where do you get this holiness? And where do you get this health? At the cross. Look back into our text. Boy, isn't the Word of God just good? It just gives us all these answers. He tells us there where this happens. It happens at the cross. Look at verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross." Well, I like it already, because there in verse 13 it says, "His dear Son." Then it says, In verse 14, "His blood." And now it says, "His cross." He owns it all. And if you're going to ever, ever have any happiness, any healthiness, or any holiness, you're going to have to go at the cross. Not at your house, not at this church. Not on the road somewhere in the wilderness and out there enjoying God as some tadpole. Or some, one guy told me one time, he said, "Well, if I believe that God's a rock, then He's a rock." Well, listen, you can just pile yourself up with all kinds of rocks and you'll not find God there. Where are you going to find Him? At the cross. You got to go to the cross. It's the cross this morning. That's what the Bible teaches. What's so big deal at the cross? Well, in John chapter 19, you could turn there if you want to. I'll turn there. But in John chapter 19 and in verse 28, what a wonderful passage of scriptures that Jesus has mentioned. He says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished and that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now he's on the cross. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, why you got to go to the cross? Why is that where you need to go? Well, because it's where the plan of God was finished. You got to go where the plan of God was finished. The plan was before the world began. He was slain before the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us in Revelation. We find this morning that if you and I are going to find happiness and holiness and be healthy, that's behavior and attitude and desire that ever is going to change in our lives and we're ever going to have salvation in our lives, we're going to have to go to the cross, because at the cross is where Jesus finished. Well, if Jesus finished salvation at the cross, why is there a reason to add to it? If Jesus finished it. If we believe in the finished work of Christ, then why do you add? Well, I believe in Jesus, but I got to be good. I believe in Jesus, but I got to be a Catholic. I believe in Jesus, but I got to do these five things. I believe in Jesus, but I got to do this, be that, have this. Where do you get that from? Most of those people are out there today, and there's a lot of them. And they're very unhappy, very unhealthy, very unholy. Because the only place you're going to find happiness and holiness and healthy is at the cross. Because that's where Jesus finished the plan. Number two, not only that's where the plan was finished, but that's where the pardon was furnished. That's where the pardon was furnished. You'll find no more pardoning anywhere else. You'll not find it in the church. You'll not find it in your home. You'll not find it in a theological book. You'll not find it from a theologian. You'll not find it in the preacher. You'll find it only at the cross. Look at Colossians chapter 2, just a chapter over. Look at verse 11. It says, in whom also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Look at verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting all the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it away, nailing it to where? To his cross. Man, where you got pardoned was at the cross. You didn't get pardoned right here, down here that day you came down here and prayed that little prayer. You didn't get pardoned when you was driving down the road and said, oh, Jesus, I give you my heart. Listen, friend, you was pardoned back on the cross. That's where he nailed your sin. That's where he nailed the blotting of ordinances against you. That's where everything was contrary was nailed. Friend, it was on the cross of Calvary. And that's where you get happy. And that's where you get healthy. And that's where you get holy, is in the cross. Hope I'm not boring you this morning. Just giving you a Bible. I kind of like that. Oh, there were you pardoned, because that's where you're dead in sins were made alive. Verse 13, that's where sinners was made clean. In verse 13, that's where the guilty was made free. In verse 14, hallelujah, he nailing it to the cross. Oh, friend, listen, we've got to understand these things, or we'll continue to live unhappy and unhealthy and unholy. Thirdly, this morning, where can we get this? Where the powers were extinguished. Look at verse 15. At the cross, there's a semicolon after the cross, meaning there's a continuation of thought. He said, having spoiled principalities, that's the devil, and powers, that's all rulers and governments and things of authorities, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, what does all that include? Well, this is what it includes. When Jesus nailed it to the cross, there's some powers, like the power of death, has now been extinguished. Where did that happen? At the cross. The power of hell has now been extinguished. The power of the grave has been extinguished. The power of sin has been extinguished. The power of Satan has been extinguished. How you and I can be delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the dear Son of God. I'm going to tell you how. They're at the cross. Death, hell, Satan, the grave, all those powers that have haunted us all of our lives, all of us that are dying, that are just concerned and worried about dying, he said, I relieve that. All those, oh, hell, I don't want to go to hell. Oh, I don't know if I die, I go to hell or not. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know, but at the cross, Jesus extinguished it. Oh, at the grave, do I live in the grave? Do my soul just sleep? What I do at the grave? My body there, my soul there. What happened? Well, Jesus extinguished it. How about my sin? Do I have to keep on living the way I live? Do I have to keep on liking what I like? Okay, this sin has ruined my life. Sin has put burdens on me and put suffering in my life. What can I do with sin? He said, I'd extinguish it. Satan, the great archenemy of us, in the cross, Satan's hands got tied. Because in the name of Jesus, even the demons will run. Oh, this morning, I know he defeated these powers, he disarmed these powers and dismantled. Fourthly, why did this happen? Love, that's why. John 3:16, I'm going to hurry. For God so loved the world. That's why that happened. That's why you can be happy today. And healthy. And holy. You can have the right attitude, the right desire, and the right behavior. Why? Because of love. God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why? Why? I tell you why. Hebrews chapter 12. Don't turn there, but verse 2 says this. Now listen to this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross. For joy endured the cross, despising the shame. For joy. Love. Why? Does God want you to be happy and holy and healthy? Because of the love of God. Because of the love of Christ. Galatians 2:20 said that He loved me and gave Himself for me. Lastly, not close. When does this happen? Well, the answer to that is Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked words, yet now. That's when this can happen. Now. Brother, when can I get happy? When can I get healthy? And when can I get holy? Now. That's what it says. Now. Now. If you don't do it now, you won't do it later. This ain't a now or later. This is now or never. Jesus made peace, verse 20 says, that He reconciled God with man. That's what it says. Reconcile all things unto himself. Number two, you can have peace. Verse 21, you can have by being reconciled. You'll find healthy and happy and holy, but you've got to do it now. Verse 22 tells us there will be peace. The Bible says, in the body of this flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. That is happiness, and that is healthy, and that is holy. But you've got to do it now. Do you want peace? Verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, of which was preached to every creature which is under the heaven, whereby Paul made a minister. Number one, the gospel has been preached to you this morning. That is that Jesus died for you. You have heard the gospel. That's what the Bible says in verse 23. I'm just going right down it. Don't move away from the gospel this morning. You better put faith in the gospel. And by putting faith, you remain in it, and you will be fixed in it, and you will be firm in it. That's how you get happy. And that's how you get holy. And that's how you get healthy. But you got to do it now. Stand to your feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Boy, if you're not happy, healthy, or holy this morning because you're just not saved, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Come now. Come now. Come now. Christians are praying. Sinners are searching. Sinners are seeking. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come, 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 come now. Come now. Come right now. Come and put your faith in Jesus this morning. Come, continue in the faith of Christ. Come, be settled, be firm, be immovable. Come, don't move away from it, move to it this morning. I'm not telling you what to do, I'm just telling you what the Bible says to do. He says, now, now. You sing, Brother George. Some have come. Would you come?